Hello, and welcome to Monitor 65, the program that keeps you informed and entertained every weekend. No vacation for us. I'm Brad Crandall. You know, all of us like to shop for bargains. We like getting those discounts. A man who's written a whole book on the subject will tell you how to protect yourself from unfair practices in just 1 minute after this message.
Does your coffee break always seem to end too soon? Would you like to stretch that break? Well, here's a man who's found a way to do it. Yep, I found a way to stretch my coffee break all right, and it really works. Here's what I do. When it's time to go back to work, I top off my break with a stick of Juicy Fruit gum. Of course, chewing a stick of Juicy Fruit doesn't really make the break last longer, but it sure seems longer. That's right. When you top off your coffee break with a stick of Juicy Fruit gum, you take that good, relaxed coffee break feeling back to the job with you. You can go right on enjoying the good chewing while you're working. Helps keep you relaxed and at your best. Try it and see for yourself. Discover how chewing Juicy Fruit gum seems to stretch your coffee break.
Let's say you go into a store new in your community, and let's call it Mammoth Bargains Incorporated. It's what we call a discount store. You're in the market for a steam iron, so you walk to that department and discover an iron which is supposed to sell at $15.95, but is being sold by Mammoth Bargains at $8.47. Well, you buy it right away. The question is, have you really saved money? Walter Henry Nelson, the author of a recently published book, The Great Discount Delusion, would probably say no. Mr. Nelson, first let me say welcome to Monitor. And then let me ask, why was there no saving in our hypothetical Mammoth Bargain store?
Well, there may or there may not have been a saving, but the consumer is going to be hard put to find out whether there actually was. If the shopper knows that that particular iron, that a particular small appliance, is being sold at the full list price by other merchants in the community, then comparison shopping, and very often price tickets can be marked to say anything. And very often, as a matter of fact, a manufacturer who's anxious to get business from these kind of merchants will actually pre-ticket his merchandise with an artificially high list price, and it's a phony price.
Well, now, assuming that this is a fairly common thing, are there other misleading practices at the so-called discount stores?
Well, there are not in all discount stores, of course. You can't generalize that way. But a lot of them, all too many, I would say, have a number of practices which the consumer doesn't know. But the consumer doesn't realize, and as I quote a discounter in my book as having said, you just can't sell dollar bills for 79 cents and make money. If you can, there must be another gimmick somewhere. And, of course, Brad, the gimmick, if I may say, the gimmick is that in many cases you can make money selling dollar bills for 79 cents if you sell some of them for 79 cents and a lot more for a dollar and a quarter. The thing is that a discounter who sells some items at deeply discounted prices has got to make his money from other items which are called profit boosters.
Uh-huh.
And very often those items are in what the trade calls soft goods. That is to say, clothing, any packaged materials, and similar goods. Now, very often a discounter will keep almost 90% of his wares in the soft goods area and have his own brand names and, in many cases, charge exceptionally high markups, certainly higher markups than the average person expects to pay at a discount house.
Now, you refer in many cases to the type of merchandise available in the so-called discount houses as being essentially bargain basement types of merchandise, other than the some of what, for example, the loss leaders. Let's get a few of these terms down, because I think this is a large part of the book. A loss leader is what?
A loss leader is almost always a top quality brand name item which is easily recognizable by the general public as being a real value, which is sold at either deliberate loss or such a small markup that it really represents a loss to the merchant. in order to bring the public into the store. And in the case of a discount operation, in order to create the discounting image for the store. A person who has gone into a discount operation and bought a TV set or an iron at a really discounted price, and he's going to go back and he's going to buy his shirts and his trousers there, and he really won't know whether he's getting a discount on those.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned terms like bait and switch as a technique, which includes the loss leader item and then the technique of fobbing the customer off onto something entirely different.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Federal Trade Commission has a list out, which I have included in my book, which refers to 9 ways in which salesmen switch customers and even switch them after they have bought the merchandise.
This is the delayed delivery thing you talk
about,
for example.
That's right. Very often you see a discounter may have 1 or 2 items of brand name nature and advertise them heavily. And when you go into such a store, such a particular discounter, you may find that those items are not available, or they're all sold out, or they are being disparaged by the salesman who wants you to buy an off-brand on which the store can make a higher profit.
Well, Mr. Nelson, does it occur to you, and have you thought about the possibility, that a large portion of the conclusions you arrive at in the Great Discount Delusion would constitute, in effect, a kind of almost propaganda for fair trade?
Well, certainly the people who are interested in fair trade are interested in my book because it's a documentation of abuses in the marketplace, which they feel fair trade can solve. I don't discuss it because I think that's a legal question. What I'm interested in telling the consumer is how he can protect himself when he's out shopping.
You use the phrase caveat emptor here, which was for a long time the standard procedure, and you mentioned that these days, with the buildup of trademarks and other things of this kind, and reputable firms, most of us no longer know how. So, how does the emptor caveat these days?
Well, the public prepares itself for intelligent shopping by, first of all, not thinking that it can outsmart the store. It's very rare that the average shopper can tell quality on most goods. On a few, yes, but not on most goods. The average shopper should be very careful about buying soft goods, clothing and so on, in these bargain stores because these are often the items on which the store maintains an exceptionally or surprisingly high markup. Don't start believing everything you read. When you see those high prices crossed off, remember that they can be printed in any print shop in the country and they're often purely inflated. And certainly refuse to be switched. If you've come in for a brand name item which the store has advertised, refuse to be switched to another one. Add up the extras. That's one thing to be careful of. If you're buying a TV set or an air conditioner, make sure delivery, installation, service are included and don't up the price unexpectedly. And check on guarantees, warranties, and service, because very often the manufacturer who isn't very happy about having his stuff sold in discount stores will refuse to service the item, and so will the store. And I would say also avoid unknown appliances as much as possible. I mean, you may have to go to Hong Kong to get repairs, you know.
Walter Henry Nelson, author of The Great Discount Illusion. Sir, you've made a somewhat cynical consumer of me, but I think perhaps a better informed one. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Brad.
A statement from Mr. Cookie Sneederman, 6323 Street. Mr. Sneederman. There is a cooler of ice-cold Coca-Cola sitting in the driveway of the next-door house. The owner of this house has gone away and left this cooler of thirst-quenching, refreshing ice-cold Coca-Cola unattended. Part of this cooler is in my driveway, so I say part of this cooler full of refreshment belongs to me.
By authority of the friends of the Cookie Sneederman family for disposition of the cooler of Coca-Cola.
In other words, hands off the Coke!
In 5 minutes, Chet Huntley reports on one of the important issues in the news. So stay on the monitor beacon. Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live at leading theaters and nightclubs around the world.
Patti Page at the Dunes Hotel in Las Vegas, a most successful engagement during which Patti was given the title The Girl with the Golden Voice.
Stop lights and sweet music, and you in my arms. Oh, that sweet melody will bring you closer to me. Chopin and pale moonlight reveal all your charm. So give me soft lights and sweet music, and you in my arms. I can't resist the moan of the cello. I can't resist the light of the moon. Put me in a spotlight that is mellow, and let me hear a beautiful tune. I like the music to flow. I like the lights way down low.
With Patti Page in a performance recorded live in Las Vegas. In Newsweek, you can always distinguish fact from opinion. From now on, read Newsweek. Monitor now presents Chet Huntley Reports, brought to you by Pennzoil, the motor oil that's worth asking for. Pennzoil, the pure Pennsylvania oil that contains its own additive, Z7, and needs no other additive of any kind. Here's Chet.
There was a commotion this past week about the mood of the president, the mood of the journalists who write about him, and the things he does, and the mood of the country. Some newsmen leaped to the conclusion with a sense of excited discovery that the president of the United States was losing his popularity, that he was in a horrible frame of mind, and that the days of the great consensus were about over. It was all pretty frothy and somewhat unsubstantial stuff, and it tended to cast the president not so much in a foul mood as it revealed the Washington News Corps in the depths of the summer doldrums, writing off the tops of their heads and attempting to extract a ton of conclusion out of a half pound of fact. This is Chet Huntley reporting. I'll be back in a moment after this message from Pennzoil.
In every field, there's always one that's above all others, the very finest. In motor oil, it's Pennzoil. That's been true since Grandpa poured the first quart of Pennzoil into his first horseless carriage. And it's more than true today, because this pure Pennsylvania oil contains an exclusive additive compound called Z7. You need an additive to keep modern-day motors running clean and smooth. But let me emphasize one thing. You don't pay extra for Z7 and add it to Pennzoil. No, sir. Z7 is already in the oil when you buy Pennzoil. You save the money other people must spend for additives. You get the finest and save money, too. What could be sweeter? Try Pennzoil with Z7, and the motor in your car will be sweeter and smoother, that's for sure. Want to know how to get Pennzoil? That's easy. It's the Ask For Motor Oil. Wherever you take your car for service, to new car dealers, garages, or service stations, be specific. Ask for Pennzoil. Again, Chet Huntley.
A lot of reckless and ill-advised words have been used to define Lyndon Baines Johnson. By this time, the adjectives should have been somewhat better refined. Because he has been in Washington a long time, he has been written about over the years, and he's not much different actually as a president than he was when he was a senator or vice president. This excited air of discovery in reference to LBJ is, therefore, a bit of journalistic hocus-pocus. He has been called thin-skinned, oversensitive, revengeful, vindictive. Well, perhaps. All this reporter knows is that it's a great comfort to have your facts straight when you encounter Lyndon Johnson. It's also quite true that if you persist in writing or broadcasting about him, sooner or later you're going to hear from him, either applauding or raising Cain about an alleged misstatement of what he considers fact, or about what he may consider an erroneous or weak conclusion from a set of facts. If there be a disenchantment and some sniping between newsmen and the president, and apparently there is a bit of it, the Washington News Corps might take a look at itself. Frankly, some journalists tend to take themselves much too seriously. Some pretend to reside on Mount Olympus, to speak in Jovian accent, or to relish an occasional scrap of information tendered their way. This president doesn't work quite that way. Some of the pundits have been stranded on their mountain peaks. Indeed, news is a little bit more difficult to come by these days. It's not handed out in great gushing torrents. So, before the nation concludes that the president is in an impossible frame of mind, it might be well to consider the frame of mind and the collective petulances of the News Corps. When a newsman decides to get in the ring with a president of the United States, any president, he is usually out of his weight class. This is Chet Huntley, NBC News, reporting for Monitor.
Pennzoil, the Ask For Motor Oil, has presented Chet Huntley Reports, a special Monitor feature. At new car dealers and garages, and at the service stations where you buy your gasoline, ask for Pennzoil, the motor oil that's worth asking for.
Hi, Ben. Morris here. Short waving at you. Ah, there's good news tonight. The man from DODGE is in such trouble you wouldn't believe it. Have stole plans for his hot-selling luxury car, Polara. Dodge Polara. Big deal, sure. His big car with plenty room for six people. But in our country, who's got six friends? And who needs that big Polara V8 with all that fancy carpeting and foam padding in front seats for hauling live chickens, right? Yeah, and Ivan, don't worry about secrecy. Have mail plans in envelope addressed with invisible ink. Ivan, have lost you?
See the man from Dodge, your nearby Dodge boy. His low prices on the 65 Dodge Polara have the competition crying, Uncle!
That's the theme from the new film, The Knack, played for you by Ferrandi and Peischer. You know, planning a vacation and having everything turn out just right takes a certain knack, don't you think? For knack, substitute money, if you like. Anyway, if you're planning that vacation, we hope you'll keep in touch when you have the NBC Listening Guide, because it lists all of our NBC stations across the country and their dial settings. The guide is free. All you have to do is write to Monitor, NBC, New York. And when you get it, you can put it in the glove compartment of your car and have it handy wherever you go. I'm Brad Crandall, sitting in for Barry Nelson. Back shortly.
John B. Lindsay, candidate for mayor of New York City, will meet the press today on the NBC Radio Network.